Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Hi, Joanne. Hi, Ron.
Hi. We've got Ron Dante on the phone. A lot of people may not know him by his name, but my God, you'll know his songs and you're going to know who he is after we finish this interview. That is for sure. So, Mr. Dante, you are actually Carmine John Granito from Staten Island, New York. Where did Ron Dante come from?
Well, when I got into show business, everybody was changing their names. Frankie Avalon, Bobby Rydell, you name it, Bobby Darin. So I figured I'd have to have a stage name, and I was a big fan of the name Dante. So there was one of the best guitarists in Staten Island was named Ronnie. And so I thought I'll get lucky and I'll have something. So I would name myself Ron. And it stuck. I changed my name when I was 14 years old, and it's
14?
Legal.
14? Wow.
I was advanced.
Yeah. So at 14, you knew you wanted to be in the entertainment industry. You knew you wanted to be a musician. I mean, what made you decide all this at 14?
I was a guitar player. I remember I busted my arm when I was 13, and the doctor said, you have to exercise. It'll be stiff your life. So you need some kind of exercise, squeeze a ball, maybe play an instrument. And I was a big fan of Elvis. So I decided to get – my dad got me a little guitar, and I started to play guitar. By the time I was 14, I had formed a group, and we played CYO centers and gigs around Staten Island and New Jersey.
Nice. And you self-taught? You taught yourself?
I took lessons for about a year, guitar lessons, and then the rest of it, just rock and roll seeped in.
Nice. Now, for those who don't know who Ron Dante is, I mean, I don't know how you could not know if you listen to Flaw's radio show, because, you know, we have a lot of our guests from the 60s, 50s, and Mr. Ron Dante is the voice behind Sugar Sugar from the Archies, the Cufflinks, Tracy. I got to say, Ron, when I was doing your research here, you are amazing. I had no idea you produced with Barry Manilow as well.
Yes, I actually discovered Barry. We were doing a commercial together. They hired me to sing one of his spots. And we struck up a friendship, and he knew that I had the Cufflinks and the Archies, and I was working with Don Kirshner. And he asked me to produce him and work with him, and I did. And about a year later, we had a hit called Mandy, and I worked with him for 9 years. Producing all his hits. I worked with him again.
Cool.
On a brand new album full of beautiful love songs. It's going to be such a big hit.
I saw him last year. He was amazing. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen anybody sing so powerfully and barely move their mouth.
He's got a great voice.
He's fantastic.
It's gotten better and better, actually.
Yes, actually. I agree with you. Now, Don Kirshner, that's another name of blast from the past. How did you hook up with Don Kirshner?
Well, he was my mentor. He signed me at 17 years old to his publishing company. And he said, kid, you're going to write songs. And I did. And he said, you'll sing demos for everybody up here at the firm. And you would believe the people that were in Don Kirshner Publishing Company, Alden Music. The
right.
first day I walked into the office, there was Neil Sedaka sitting over there, Carole
wow.
King sitting in another
wow.
room, and Tony Orlando in another room. And they all kind of welcomed me, and they said, kid, sit down and write a song, or
please.
Just do one of our demos. And that
please.
Was the beginning.
Please tell me this was all taking place in the Brill Building.
Yeah, actually, it was across the street at 1650. I eventually got to work at the Brill Building with Bobby Darin. Years later, I went to work for Bobby Darin. But the beginning was 1650 Broadway, which
wow.
was another massive music building.
Right, right. So now, okay, you started as a demo singer. And now, I guess Don came up with the cartoon, right? The Archies first, and then needed music, obviously, for the show. And why did you choose to be anonymous throughout those years?
Well, with the Archies, it was in the contract. They were a cartoon group.
Correct, right, yeah.
They were going to have their own TV show every Saturday morning, an animated
right.
TV show. And it was the first that had tons of music.
Right.
Other shows had little music, but this one was based on the group. They had a group that played two or three songs a show. There was a theme song. So it was in the contract that I would be the voice of the Archies. And they had to keep it quiet because there would be no touring group.
Right,
and
right.
That was fine with me because at the time I was singing demos. I was singing commercials.
Yeah.
So you would hear my voice on a McDonald's or a Dr. Pepper and you would know me anyway.
Right.
But that was my business to sing. And
right,
I took the job happily. And Kirshner even said to me, if it's a big success, we'll give you your own solo album at some point in the future.
Mm.
And he did. He came through on all promises.
Mm. Yeah, he was a nice guy. I mean, from what I gathered back in the day when I was growing up, he seemed like a really nice guy in the music business to work with. Now, I just want to say thank God you were from Staten Island, because had you been from somewhere else and sang Sugar, Sugar, it would have been, ah, sugar. Instead of sugar.
Well, the accent, you know, the dialect from that region helped the song sound kind of like nobody knew where it was from. Could have
right.
been English, could have been, you know, American, but it kind of worked with the song.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely would not have worked if you said sugar.
Yeah, sugar. Yeah,
sugar.
It would have sounded wrong. The writers were very happy that I sang it. And Andy Kim and Jeff Barry, who wrote the song, always compliment me on that. That's the vocal they were happy with.
Right. Now, Andy Kim, was that Rock Me Gently, Andy
yeah,
Kim?
Yeah, it's the Andy
wow.
Kim.
Wow.
That was his.
And of course, Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich, the writing team, husband and wife writing team.
Yes, they didn't write. She didn't write that one with him. She was gone by then out of the relationship. But Jeff was still writing hits and producing hits. He produced The Monkees, I'm a Believer. He was a very, very talented songwriter, producer.
Yeah, well, they wrote a lot of the girl group songs
yeah.
during the time, yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah, Ellie Greenwich and Jeff Barry wrote Be My Baby, Hank.
Oh,
Hank,
every,
Hank,
yeah,
Hank.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
they must have wrote 30 hits.
Do What Diddy Diddy, I mean, my God.
Yeah.
And they were very talented, too. So now, another thing I didn't know was, I knew you were in the Cufflinks, but I had no idea that Sugar Sugar and Tracy were on the charts at the same time.
Yeah, it was just a coincidence. I had recorded Tracy months later than Sugar Sugar, but when they both came out at the same time, they ended up in the top 10 at the same time, which was a great kick for me. It was really cool. Even though I was anonymous, it was a great kick to have two records in the top 10
at the same time.
Tracy was 9 and Sugar Sugar was number 1 on the
crazy amazing.
So how was that for a singer? You got to
amazing
a very cool thing. Yeah.
And you also did all the vocals on everything as well, right? I mean, that was you.
Well, on Tracy I did 20 voices on
wow.
I did all the ba-ba-ba's and the answers
right.
and the lead. It was
right.
a lot of fun session to do. But on Sugar Sugar there was a girl voice on me, of course. Her name was Toni Wine. And Tony was the Betty and Veronica on the Archies, and her being a talent on her own. She Toni Wine went on to write Groovy Kind of Love
oh,
and
wow.
Candida. And she still tours with Tony Orlando on the road together. She's a great lady and a very talented singer-songwriter. I was happy to have her in the Archies.
Nice.
Hey, Ron.
Ron, go ahead.
I got a question for Ron. Now, I'm thinking when Sugar came out, I lived on Staten Island. I think it was in 1969. Am I correct that it became the big hit? Because I remember the 69 Mets, and I remember Sugar.
It was the song of the. You're right, John. It was the song of the year. It ended the year as the number one record of the year in sales and requests. It beat out the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Fifth Dimension that year, which is an unbelievable occurrence for a group like the Archies, which weren't touring at all.
Right.
But it was great. It was really cool that ABC was playing the hell out of it. And would play it once an hour. So it was really, and sometimes they would play Tracy and Sugar within the first hour, each hour, which was such a terrific thing to happen to a singer.
Right. Now, before everything
Did you play the instruments on that, Rod? Did you play any instruments on that Sugar?
No, I'm a guitar player, but they were all New York studio musicians played great. I mean, they played on all the hits.
Cool.
It was a real crew that the producer Jeff Barry put together.
Now before everything blew up, you were in a parody group called The Detergents, and you had a parody song called Leader of the Laundromat. Was that a take on Leader of the Pack?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a complete take. It was like the Weird Al type of take. It happened to be a pretty big hit. It sold almost a million records on Roulette Records.
I have to look it up.
It went like top 20. And we toured with the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars for about a year.
Oh, cool. Nice.
We went out there with the Hermits and Little Anthony Imperials and even opened for the Rolling Stones once.
Wow.
In Philadelphia. that was very scary. But the Detergents, we had an album, and it was a wonderful year. On the road, yeah. See, Shangri-Las would be on the same bill with us. Mm. They'd do Leader of the Pack, and we'd come out and do our parody. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, you had a lot of amazing years, actually, not just one. You had a lot, and you still do. You're still working like crazy. But what I want to ask you also, now, the Archies, did you ever have a spot on the show at all? Did you play a role at all, your voice, anything other than song?
No, they kept it all animated, and they just played my voice every Saturday for 4 years the show was on. So you heard my voice. All these kids were growing up during those years, getting their first exposure to kind of pop rock and roll.
Right.
And they still come to my concerts.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that would be me.
Well, thank you.
Another thing I found amazing, too, was you sang the voices of Betty and Veronica on Jingle Jangle with your falsetto.
Yes, I did do the lead in falsetto. Tony Wine's doing the answers. He does wonderful answers on it, but I do the bulk of the song in my falsetto because they cut the track in the wrong key. And I said, I can't sing this. They said, yes, you can. Just use your falsetto like Lou Christie or Frankie Valli. And I said, okay, and that's exactly what I did. So it was kind of like weird, but it was the follow-up to Sugar, and it also sold a million records. I have a gold record on my wall right here, right under Sugar is Jingle Jangle, which I'm very proud of those records.
Nice. What else did you write with Barry Manilow other than Mandy?
You know, I didn't write it. Mandy was written by Scott English and Richard Kerr. And I produced all the Manilow hits.
Nice.
Meaning every time you'd see a Manilow hit like Copacabana, I write the songs, it was produced by Ron Dante and Barry Manilow. And we worked together as a production team for those 8-9 years. And actually, we never left the charts for about 6-7 years. We had 18 hits in a row together.
Yeah, it's like you never had any downtime.
Yeah, I mean, every summer we were in the studio recording an album.
Right.
I have to tell you, it was so much fun to work with a guy like Manilow, who's a perfect musician, great singer, great songwriter, and easy to get along with. It was really some great years, I must say.
Yeah. And I also didn't know that
Joanne. Joanne, when you get a chance, we have a caller for Ron.
Excellent.
We have Patty
on
the line.
Cool. All right.
Patty,
hi,
are you there?
Patty, welcome to the show.
Yes, I am.
Hi, Patty. Well, say hello to Ron.
Oh, Ron, you have no idea how happy I am to speak with you. I blew through 245s of Tracy, and I am so shocked to find out that you are the voice of Sugar Sugar. I destroyed that 45 and had to babysit to buy another one.
Well, thank you.
So now
thank
you know
Patty.
How old I am, because I was babysitting to buy those 45s. But I went through needle after needle wearing those 45s out. And I love your voice. And now that I know that you are playing, I am definitely going to, I hope you're somewhere in this metropolitan area of New York City, New Jersey.
Are you coming to the East Coast anytime soon, Ron?
Not soon. We scheduled a tour for next summer. It's called the Happy Together Tour. With
oh, great. Oh, yeah.
I'm writing that down right now.
Yes, and I will be at the St. George, I think, on June 19th. Of next year in
Staten Island.
Also, I'll be in New Jersey a couple of times too. Englewood, and
well, that's where we're going to see
Atlantic
you.
City. I'll be in Atlantic City next summer. Just look for Happy Together Tour and come see me.
Cool.
Well, I will definitely be there because I will be singing right along with you. Not that I'm a groupie or anything, but when I saw this on Joanne's page, I just transported right back to the late 60s, early 70s, and my heart just was beating right out of my chest. I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And I want to know how I did not know that you were the same person. I would have been like the coolest kid in like eighth grade if I knew this.
I had no idea either. I found out researching him.
And I am like, I like, kick butt in all kinds of music trivia, and I did not know this. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that I didn't know this. It's got to be the
now
best.
Now you know.
And you
best
also
kept trivia.
And you also did the Charlie Chan cartoons as well on
yes,
Saturday
I,
morning.
Yes, I did a lot of voices for a lot of projects. And
oh my gosh!
They wanted me, and I couldn't be happier about that.
Yeah,
I wish somebody
wonderful.
Wanted me. I wish somebody wanted me.
There's always somebody who wants us.
Do you want a backup dancer? I'm still in good shape.
I still know
all the words.
Well, Ron will let us know where we can get more information, I guess, before we sign off. He can let us know. And where we can find out where we can see him and his website and all, unless you want to share that with us now, Ron.
Yeah, people can come to my Facebook page and they'll see where I'll be performing. Also, my rondante.com. They'll see the I'll be putting up a new schedule for next year. It's funny. At this point, I'm busier than I was 20 years ago because all the fans they're ready to come see the shows, and I have the most fun at the shows because I go out and I see the fans afterwards and stuff. It's a great time for me. I'll be on two cruises next year. I'm on the Flower Power cruise.
Flower
in
Power.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, and I'll be on Concerts at Sea in January as an Archie's. So and there's still rooms left in January for that cruise. So people come out.
Nice.
Well,
nice.
I will be friending you for sure.
Okay. Nice talking to you, Patty.
Thank you for
you
calling,
too.
Patty.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, Patty.
If anybody else wants to talk to Ron, please give us a call at 646-478-0999. And since I'm talking in the middle, Ron, if you don't mind, I'd like to say thank you to our sponsors. We have the Hive Bar and Bistro, 142 Atwater Lane in Garfield, New Jersey, Catskill Provisions, and KWB Wine. Make sure you check them all out. They're wonderful. We wouldn't be associated with them if they weren't. And so back to Ron. Also, Ron, another feat for you. In 2015, Billboard had you smack dab in the middle, number 78, Sugar Sugar, in between Pharrell Williams' Happy and Bruno Mars' Just the Way You Are. That's amazing.
That's amazing. I mean,
50 years later, look at that.
That's an unbelievable thing. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
It's so cool. They're two of my favorite artists. I love Pharrell. I loved Happy. Happy one of my favorite songs ever. And, of course, Bruno Mars is a genius. So to be coupled, bracketed by the two of them
right
is a great honor. Wow.
Yep, right
That's
in the middle.
Cool.
Yeah, I also didn't know that you did the disco album under the name Dante's Inferno. I had no idea that was you.
Oh, yeah. I loved disco at the time. I didn't think it was bad. I loved it.
I loved it, too.
And I wanted to do a great disco album. They asked me to name it, and I said, well, let's call it Dante's Inferno. And we had a great run. We got played all over the country, and it was a lot of fun to do this album.
Nice. Wonderful. Just fabulous. I'm loving this. And also, and you're also, besides a music producer, singer, songwriter, you're also, you produce a lot of Broadway shows as well.
Yes, I worked in that area all my teen life, my young life in the young 20s.
Mm.
I worked with those studios smack dab in the middle of Schubert Alley and Broadway theaters. So I used to walk in and say, wow, this is a great musical. I wish I could be involved in a musical. And years later, at 78, I met a good friend of mine who said, let's do it. We're doing a musical called Ain't Misbehaving. We need a producer. So I teamed up with James Lipton and the Schuberts were my partners on it. And I started to produce Broadway shows. And the first two I did was Ain't Misbehaving. And the next was Children of a Lesser God.
Wow.
Which became a huge movie. But
yeah.
It was originally a hit Broadway show. So I won Tonys for both of those.
Nice.
And I continued. I did another 10, 20 productions over those years with Neil Simon and a whole bunch of people. Recently, I've gone back to producing, and I produced a show out here in Los Angeles called In a Booth at Chasen's, which is a love story of Ron and Nancy Reagan and how they met in 1950. It's
very
a Hollywood
nice.
Love story written by my friend Al Kasha, who's a famous songwriter. He wrote, there's got to be a morning after and a whole bunch of
things. Oh, I love that song,
So I went out and I produced it last year, and we just had a showing of it at the Kennedy Center. So it's funny.
Nice.
It's like bookending. I'm still involved in the Broadway scene also, besides performing.
Right. Yeah. So on the Happy Together tour, are you still filling in for Howard, Kaylin?
Yeah.
So you're double billing then.
I'm double billing. I did it the last two tours in a row, 18
wow.
and 19. And they booked me for 2020. We're going to do about 60 cities from late May to September, early September. And I'll be filling in for the lead singer of the Turtles, Howard Kaylin, and also singing a couple of my hits in the middle
nice.
Of the set.
Yeah, of course.
So
of
I will course. Be all over the East Coast. People can I'll put the schedule up very soon.
Yeah, I definitely want to see you. You have to let me know when you're going to be out in Jersey area or New York, please.
Oh yeah, Atlantic City is on the thing,
and I'd love to meet you if I could.
Well, you let me know at the time, and send me an email or something, and
absolutely,
we'll say hello. You come backstage, say hello.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Thank you so much, Ron. I would love that. Thank you. Now, do you still work with Paul Schaefer at all? I know the two of you have known each other for years as well.
We're very old friends. Yes, I just did about 2 months ago. Paul had a residency at Caesar's Palace.
Did he really?
Yes, four nights a week, three nights a week.
Cool.
And he called me up and he asked me to come in and guest star. So a couple of months ago, I was in Vegas doing Paul Schaefer's residency. And now he's got his own TV show that he interviews people. And he said, I'll be on it pretty soon. So,
really?
Yeah, I keep in touch with Paul. He's a very close old friend who actually worked with me on my Manilow sessions. He's another
talented guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he came in and played piano on it. And Barry loved his piano playing, so we kept him on. I work with Cher and Pat Benatar producing. And Paul was the keyboardist and arranger.
What song did you produce with, for Pat Benatar?
Well, Benatar, we did the first session we did was Heartbreaker and You Better Run, the old Rascal song.
Wow.
Those were the two songs we recorded, and they used the exact arrangements and the exact. It was a good launching for Pat.
That's what hit her up, so
that gave her a start. I gave her a sound and everything, and it worked out. And Paul was the integral part of the band.
He knew
how to put a band together for me, so he's a great friend. So
wow.
things are good. I must say that people are calling. And you'll never know where I'm going to turn up next.
No, I'm glad you're turning up. That's for sure. I love it. And you also sang the vocals in I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in the commercial, the Coke commercial.
Yes, that's a famous commercial.
Yeah.
Actually, that commercial is in the archives in the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because it's such a worldwide commercial that was so influential. I did the lead voice on that one, along with, I was a jingle singer for many years, so
right.
You heard my voice on tons of commercials, from Dr. Pepper to Coke to Pepsi. I did all the soft drinks. I did all the airlines, and it was a great time to be a singer. Nowadays, there's not many jingles left.
No. And Barry,
commercial.
Barry was a jingle singer as well, right? Jingle writer.
That's right. He was honored the Clio Association just gave him a special award because he was such a popular jingle writer.
Yeah.
And we met when he was doing commercials. That's when I met him.
I was just going to ask, is that how you met? Yeah.
Yes, we met, and that was the beginning of our long friendship.
Wow. Yeah, oh, my God.
Joanne, we got another call on the line for
excellent.
Ron.
Ron, do you mind if we take another
time?
Call?
Oh, please, go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, this is Dan. Dan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, John.
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan!
Hey. Hi, Ron.
Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joanne.
How are you, honey?
Ron, I know one time you and I were talking on Facebook, and you said something about you'd been in several different bands over the years that you've worked with. Do you have any idea how many?
Oh, good question, Dan.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Dan.
Yeah.
Working with, you know, I've recorded as many groups over my years. I have an anthology out right now, a Ron Dante anthology that has 16 of the Ghost groups that I sang for. And
wow.
that was just like three quarters of what I did. I was the voice of Spider-Man on a group called the Web Spinners on an album called Beyond the Grave. It's a radio show with music, and I was the voice of the Spider-Man on it. And it's funny, I just kept saying yes to every group. If they wanted me to sing for them, I did it. And
thank God you did. Thank God you did.
Thank you. I was very fortunate to be asked to do it, and I went ahead and did it. So I would say about two dozen groups had my voice in them.
Nice.
And it was always fun. I even sang background for the McCoys at the time when they were having Hang on Sloopy, or the Jane and the Americans, Gary Lewis, Bobby V. I sang background for a lot of those people.
Well, you know what? It was a great time for music. And all I can say is you must have had nothing but a fantastic time, nothing but fun.
Yeah. It was fun, and I knew it at the time. So, Dan, thanks for the question. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. Didn't you work on the White Plains, that group?
White Plains. That's one of the few groups that I didn't work with, because they were based in England, and that's my friend Tony Burrows, who he's kind of like the English Ron Dante, because he ghosted five different groups. From Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes to Beach Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tony did those groups. In fact, when we work together, there's eight groups that we sang for that we can do hits from. So he's a good guy. But you're right, White Plains was one of the few I didn't get to do. If I was in England, I probably would have done it.
Yeah.
So do you have a book out or anything, Ron?
No, I've been offered a couple of book deals, and I'm considering it. But
you should.
I still have a lot. You know what, Joanne?
You have a lot more to go.
I have a lot more to do.
Yes.
I may be in the fourth quarter, but this is the most important quarter.
Yeah.
Well, I know, Ron, you keep busy with the tour going on. I go to the tour every time when I can, when you're in Effingham, Illinois, because that's not very far from me.
We'll be doing it again next year. You'll see us in Effingham. They've already booked it. So
I'd ask you about that, and you said they were trying to get it booked. So,
yeah. No, Effingham is definitely on the schedule now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hopefully I can make it.
Yes, hopefully you will, Dan. You will be there.
Well,
okay?
Get my health in order.
You feeling okay, honey?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. That pacemaker's working like it's supposed to now.
Good.
So,
good.
Mark Lindsay and I are pacemaker buddies now. So.
Oh, yeah. Mark is on the tour next week.
Cool.
Yeah.
Next year, yeah.
Cool.
Next year, yeah. I saw that.
Well, Ron, I wanted to
thank
ask
you, Dan. Thank you.
Yes,
yep.
Thank you, Dan. We love you. Thank you for calling. I love Dan. He's such a wonderful guy. He really is. So, Ron, I wanted to ask you, do you think Riverdale has caused the new show, has caused the resurgence for any of the music that you've done?
That's a good question, and it's true. It has.
Mm.
The first season, they had the group singing Sugar Sugar and Jingle Jangle.
Mm.
And just 2 or 3 weeks ago, they played one of my records from the original album.
Oh, cool.
Called Archie's Party. And they played that right, like the whole record in back of a scene in the high school. So people, I'm getting a lot of younger people coming in.
I was
going to
ask you that.
Yeah, they're familiar with the Archie characters again. And
right.
This season, the Archie's on TV, Riverdale, are going to form a band. So there'll be more music coming out. And
cool.
It's all good for me. I mean, I'm very happy that the show's, it's the number one show on the CW network.
Yeah. Do you think they'll ask you to write any music for it, or you don't know?
I've tried. No takers yet, but I keep calling them.
No bites. are you an EGOT? I mean, I know you sing, you dance. I mean, I don't know about dancing, but you sing, you write, you act. How about dancing?
I can dance very well.
Okay.
I do have rhythm. My mom gave me that rhythm. She could dance, and she taught me to dance as a kid. She said, you'll never be without a date if you can dance.
So triple threat. And so do we have Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony? What do we? I know you got the Tony.
The Tony, got two Tonys.
Nice.
The record I produced, Copacabana, won the Grammy.
Nice.
I was nominated as a producer 3 times
nice.
For a record of the year.
Mm.
So I have 3 nominations. I've been very, very fortunate. The awards
yes,
are great.
Yeah.
The awards are great, but the trick is it's in the history books, and I'm proud of it, whatever it is.
Excellent. Well, sir.
Hey, Joanne, we have to say
yes,
goodbye to Ron now because we have our next guest, Frank, coming up.
Yep.
So I want to thank Ron.
Yeah. I was just getting there. Yeah, Ron, thank you so very much, and it's been a pleasure getting to know you. My God, you're amazing, and I wish you nothing but more success because you are just amazing, and I can't wait to see you.
Okay, you will see me. I'll be back.
All right.
Back in that area. Thank you, John. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ron. Take care. You have a happy holiday.
Thank you. You too, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. All
and
right.
And we have Frank
again.
On the line.
Hey, Frank.
How
are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, Joanne? What's up, John?
How
congratulations on your congrats on that award you got.
Oh, thank you so much.
Making a lot of noise.
Well, we're trying to, you know.
Wow, you got
some
big names on your show, huh? Wow, you got some legends.
Yeah. Oh,
everybody knows that song, huh?
Oh, Ron is fantastic. Ron is fantastic.
Wow, that's really cool.
So, pardon me. I just wanted to say, I ran into Frank. We met actually at Chiller Theater in Parsippany, New Jersey. And the reason why I wanted
crazy,
to, you know, we talked about coming on the show, but I thought it'd be apropos to have him on tonight because Frank, I don't want to say got his start. We're going to talk to him about that. But he also has something in common with Ron. He had a hit song in a cartoon as well. And what's it called? Go Teen Titans?
It's called Teen Titans Go is the name of the cartoon. Yeah, it's
Thank
on
you.
The Cartoon Network. And,
and
it's a Warner Brothers show.
How did that happen? How did you wind up doing
Real,
that?
That was just like a really interesting story. I wrote the song probably like in the 1980s, like parts of it.
Wow.
Like I never forgot the melody of the song. It was in my head for like 20 years. You know, I never did anything with it.
Mm.
So I had a, and this is like in 10 years ago.
Mm.
You know, I have a recording studio in Westchester, and I was on Atlantic Records. I got some production deal going on with them and putting music out and playing a lot and so I had a studio with a lot of room. So, you know, I rented out one of my rooms to this guy, Carl Burnett, who ended up, you know, coming to my studio, and he worked, and he still does. He's a writer for Telepictures, which is like a music library for Warner Brothers. So, and, you know, so Carl came into, you know, one night came over and he said, "Hey, Frank, you got anything that sounds like Duran Duran?" I'm like, not for Teen Titans. It's for something completely unrelated, a totally different show. And I'm like, yeah, I got this song. I just kicking around in my head. Let me like actually do something with it. And then I wrote, you know, the lyrics and I used my old melody. And so I gave it to him, and you know, and he produced it. He did a fantastic job producing it. And then he bumped it to somebody in Virginia, who I never met, who was a singer, like more of a heavy metal hard rock singer. And he ended up using him on the vocal on it. My vocal on it was a little bit too high for me, so he ended up using Billy Regan, who's the singer in this project called BER. And so after that, strangely enough, like a few years go by, and you know, we don't, you know, the song was submitted to the music library, and the show Teen Titans Go comes on, and they were looking for a song that had the word night in it. And they put a snippet of it. They just put a snippet of the song in one of their early shows called Slumber Party. And it just went kind of viral on YouTube. People are like taking the song and they're like, you know, making loops and putting Cyborg, who's like the main character in the show, and, you know, on YouTube. And then after that, you know, I get a call, a message from the producer, wife of the show. She's like, "I don't know if I got the right guy, but you guys are going to be on the show. You're going to be mentioned on Teen Titans Go, and you're going to have like a shout out on the show, and your names and the band name, and you know, and the song's going to be played. Like the character's obsessed with your song." I'm like, "Well, that's cool." Mm. And next thing, and it just blew up after that. And then like the song started charting on like, you know, on iTunes, rock charts, you know, it hit like 16 at one point, and then it went to like number, it even got on Billboard. But it was after a year later, which was last year, a year and a half ago, they said, "You know what, this song is so good, and we got the highest ever ratings of the show using the song." They made a four-part series of called "The Night Begins to Shine," which is the name of the song.
Oh, wow.
And
right.
And they did a four-part mini, basically like an hour special, and they ran that, and the show and the song went to number one on iTunes. It went to, you know, number 17 on Billboard, and we had other songs put in the show that charted as well. One was called "Forever," another one called "Rise Up." And then, you know, to make it even cooler, they put me and the other two guys, Billy and Carl, as characters, as ourselves in the show,
as friends,
musicians,
as cool.
A band. And, you know, and out of that, you know, now there's been a few other shows after that. Like we get mentioned, we won, like they had a show where they had the top 10 best songs on the show. We got number one. Then they have new shows coming in 2020, and we're going to be part of that. And our character is going to be, you know, our real life characters. And also we turn into like these alternate egos of like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I turn
like
into a bird.
Superhero or something.
And it's so crazy. And it has such a huge following, and it's had such a, like a positive impact on the kids love the show. And, you know,
we
get letters from all over the world from like kids that are like, you know, who have, you know, learning disabilities or, you know, autism or can't walk or, you know, physical things. And they're like, you know, "Your song gets me so excited. And, you know, I play it every morning, and I do this and I do that. And now I can talk. I can," it's incredible. It's had like,
this could be the start of maybe another Ron Dante here, starting out in animation, you know?
I don't know. And it's all these great things came out of it, you know. And it's a really cool song.
So tell us about
the
go ahead, honey. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's like the Crooked Hearts. Yeah, that's fine. That's my band that actually is not a TV fictional kind of TV created band. That's my real band that plays. It plays shows, and you know, we do local concerts right now, and we have some other songs. You know, we have a song currently on a major, like a national TV commercial for a company. It's an apparel company, and that's starting to kick into high gear. They're starting to play. All the major networks are starting to play the commercials with the song in it.
What commercial is it?
It's a sock company called Kane 11, and I love socks, by the way. And and their socks are really cool. They make socks in your own size, so which is a cool thing. So you have like, and think about it. How many people? No one ever thought of that. Socks in your own size. How bizarre is that? So the company headed by Tom Kalish, who has another successful company, you know, he's got like a lot of money into this company. A lot of Boomer, who's a sports ESPN guy, is promoting the product, and they're doing really, really, really good. And the song is gonna get some airplay, and it's been on the show, on the commercial, and it's starting to this coming month, after Thanksgiving, we're going to start promoting the song, and
nice.
Hopefully good
doing
things come out of that.
Touring
at well.
All? Or are you going to be playing
well,
out?
We'll do whatever. Yeah, we'll do stuff like that if there's a demand for it, you know, for that, you know.
Yeah. So what type of music is Frankie Nia and the
Crooked Heart? That's kind of true, like classic rock, but you know, with a little more modern feel to it. You know, if you like Tom Petty, the Rolling Stones, U2, Coldplay, the Beatles, those are like all those styles mixed in together. Those are the bands that we really love, and those are, and the two guys I work with we've been together for a long time. My bass player is Alex Ritzabitsky, and I have Martin Stroh on drums. We are, you know, we're a tight unit, you know, we've been together for like over 10 years now, and you know, work a lot together. We play together and hang together,
so
and all that stuff. And
when did you actually become a professional musician? I mean, obviously you've been playing probably since you were a teenager. So when did like other than Teen Titans, when did things start getting professional?
It actually started happening like probably about 20 years ago when I was like 9. No, I'm just kidding.
I met you. I know you're not 9. And you know I'm not either. You know I'm not 9 either. That was a bad day, by the way, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It was a long day. I could barely even speak, but I tried like hell.
Yeah, you sound good. I heard your singing thing. That was pretty cool.
Oh, thank you. It was a long time ago.
So I started doing this about in 1998, I opened up a music studio, and I started doing a lot of recording, and it's in Mount Kisco, New York, which is in Westchester County, about 40 minutes from New York City. And, you know, I just started, you know, saying, you know what, I gotta get this thing going, you know. And I started hustling and meeting people, and you know, I said earlier I was working with Atlantic. And, you know, then I started writing music for a couple of shows, and I started doing music for Monster Garage. I have a label called ACM Records that put some music out, and then we got stuff on Monster Garage. I got a couple of songs on some international shows, one called Inside Hollywood. Cool. I wrote theme songs for that. So I started doing a lot of that, and, you know, but, you know,
that's not my
true love.
I see another Ron Dante. I see Ron Dante on the rise. I see a 2000 version.
Yeah, maybe. I don't have the Grammys, though, but I'm looking to get one.
Yeah, not yet. But you have a granny.
Yeah.
You have a granny.
Yeah.
We all have grannies, no Grammys.
Yeah.
But, so where can people check you out, Frank? Where can they check out your music?
Oh, definitely go. You can go to Facebook and or Google my name. Frank, last name is Enea, E-N-E-A,
oh,
and you get the
I said
get
it
the
wrong,
TV band. Enea, yeah, you get you'll. Yeah, it's all right. You're not the only one. I get Enya, and you know, every time anything gets on a radio or
Enea.
They actually got it right on Teen Titans Go. I don't know how. Hmm. And then, you know, but they can check out Frank Enea and the Crooked Hearts on Facebook and Instagram. They can check out berofficial.com. That's the TV band that's on Teen Titans Go. That's, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of action with that. You know, we did Comic-Con 2 years ago, and two of the guys in the group did it this last summer. And, you know, we'll do signings and stuff like that. And a lot of kids follow the show, and they love the characters. I mean, just unbelievable. You ask any kid, it's like they know the
show.
Well,
I know.
I
know you have kids. So what they think when your song hit Teen Titans? Because it is a very popular show with boys, especially.
Yeah, my kids are like that. It's like my name is uncommon to begin with. It's not like your typical, you know, last name, Enea. It's an uncommon name, and so you know, people see that last name, they're like, "Are you related? Are you the guy that did that song for?" They'll make that connection.
Were they fans of the show before? I figured that because most boys knew the show, but
we quickly became fans after they told me.
I haven't seen it in years. My guys are grown now, but I remember when they were little, we would watch it, and you know, they liked it at the time, so, but, oh, God.
It's on all the time.
Oh,
it's
I know,
on all
I
the
know.
Time.
Yeah.
And it's like their main show.
Did Fall Out Boy and CeeLo Green cover the song, or am I reading that wrong?
No, you're reading that right.
Wow.
Fall Out Boy and CeeLo Green, they do a version of it, and that actually did pretty well, too. I think that also charted. And they're in the show in one of the episodes. And they perform the song on the show as their cartoon character, you know.
Right.
You know, maybe
cool.
one day.
Very
we'll,
cool.
Yeah. You know, so you never know, you know, stuff like that. And it opened up a lot of doors, and, you know, it's a blessing for us as, you know, three guys
now
doing something like that. And
is your studio available to other people or just your own home
absolutely.
Studio?
It kind of has the feel of a home studio, but it's in a public building, and definitely it's called Satellite Music Studios. And I love working with people, and that's my thing. And I meet all my best friends. I've met them at my studio, Satellite Music Studios. Oh, it's in Mount Kisco, which is. Do you know where Chappaqua is near the Clintons? I'm about 15 minutes from them.
No, I only knew it when the Kennedys were there. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. That's not the point
of you
thinking.
That's a whole
other story.
Sorry about that.
It's a shady thing, yeah.
Are you originally from that area, or are you East Coast?
I'm from White Plains.
Okay.
I'm White Plains. Yeah. I'm from the hoods of White Plains.
The hood.
And which is like the Sticks if you live in New York City, but it's not really the Sticks. But yeah, I'm from White Plains, and which is. Yep.
Well, is there anything you want to tell the folks out there where they can see you playing next, or
our next show is
get your music.
Yeah, they can get the music on iTunes. Frank Enea and the Crooked Hearts music. There's a new song called Sunshine in My Head. That's on our last album called Sunshine in My Head. There's a song called Walk the World, which is on the Kane 11 commercials. That song is also available, and that's going to kick into high gear. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks we're going to get some more action on that song. And that's when it's in the commercial. Then there's another album called Makeshift Days. There's an album called Morning Show. Those are my main albums. Anything else you find on the internet that's got some crazy Brazilian music or, you know, raw blues and stuff like that. Those are like music library things that are not really my official releases. And BER stuff, which is the Teen Titans Go music, that there's new stuff coming out with that. There's that stuff is, you know, on the internet. The main songs for that is that the kids really like is one called Forever. Another one is called Rise Up. And the main one is The Night Begins to Shine, which is kind of like the meaning of the song is in you know, in the darkness there is light, that kind of thing. And I guess people really, kids really hung on to that phrase.
They can
and,
relate.
And that's
they
what,
can relate.
Yeah, they can relate to that. Yeah.
Right,
so that's, you know, that's available. And you can go on Facebook and you can join our, you know Facebook page or Instagram
page.
And follow us on that. Yeah, and then the fan page, frankiniaband.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's
now,
my band, yeah. So,
are you mainly a jazz fan and turn to rock, or am I...
No,
I
like the blues. I like blues music, and but I do, I like classic rock, and like my main influences, like I said, like the Stones and the Beatles and that kind of stuff, that classic rock era.
Classic,
and, you know, there's a lot of great... You know, and there's a lot of great new bands, but if you think of all the great new rock bands out there, they all come from that, you know, background. You know, they all somebody in these new bands, they either like the Beatles, the Stones, or the Who, or the Doors, or the Zeppelin, or you know, it's always like the same 10 people that they all, you know, those are like the Mozart, Beethoven, and Bach of music, you know.
Right.
And that's why you're getting all these cover bands now. Everything's a tribute band.
And you play guitar. You play lead, rhythm, both.
Yeah, I'm the rhythm lead guitarist and songwriter for the Frank and Ian and the Crooked Hearts band, and I'm the lead singer in that band. And I play guitar and write with B.E.R. Along with Carl and Billy Regan, who's the lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like I have two different bands, and they're completely they're two different things.
How old were you when you started playing?
I was a little kid. My parents are from Italy, and so you know, they came here when we were I was born here, but I didn't really speak English or anything like that. So I went to school. I'm like, I don't speak English, and meanwhile, I'm born here. So my parents they listen to a lot of Italian music, so I got that whole my father liked Italian music and stuff like that, and took us shows at, you know, at our local theaters and stuff like that. But I really got into it when someone bought my brother a Stones album, and he said, you know, I don't want this. You want it? I'm like, I was a little kid. I was like 7 years old. I'm like, wow, these guys look really evil and dark. I like these guys.
Which album?
It was an old Stones album. Yeah, it's called December's Children, and most people don't know that album, but it's got Get Off My Cloud on it, which is the number one hit for them. So when that album came out, and I heard the guitars on that, I was like, I was curious as to like, what instrument is that, and how do they get that sound? And you know, then later on, I mean, I heard Brown Sugar, after the fact it came out, and I heard those chords and stuff like that. I was like, it just really, my ears perked. Then I discovered all the blues artists through the Stones, because they're the ones who really introduced Americans to American music. You know, everybody didn't care about the blues, but the Stones were one of the first acts to really expose those blues artists and give them credit, you know. And so I got into that with them, and then I got into a lot of things through them, because the Stones are into reggae and funk, disco, that was my main influences, that guitar style of playing. And then, you know, I fell in love with the Beatles and the Doors and all that stuff. And then that's like, and then I know all the new bands. I love new music, and I listen to everything. And I'm not a big on rap, but there's some rap artists that I like that are, when they meld rock and and rap and hip hop and stuff like that, I like that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of great music out there today too,
I tend to agree and disagree, but I'll leave that one alone.
As much, because if you think about in the 60s, you had like between 1963 and 1969, think about, you had funk, you had James Brown, you got Stevie Wonder, Motown, the Beatles,
everything.
The Stones, heavy
it
metal.
Was top 40, that's what top 40 was, it was everything, it wasn't just one style, it was top 40, So
now it's forgetting.
You can't find a mixture of music now on a station. It's all just one type of music,
Yeah. Or you just listen to what you like on satellite.
Exactly. Know? Yeah, that's what I do. I listen to Sirius.
Yeah.
I'm a big Sirius fan. So, John, you have any questions for Frank?
No, I was just listening to everything because I kind of grew up the same thing, playing the guitar in different bands and everything, but I went off in a different direction to make movies and used the guitar and my music to put the soundtracks to my movies. So it's kind of the same thing he's doing, you know. Yeah, he made it to a higher level than I got.
Well, not really. You're in movies.
What movies did you do, John?
Well, my recent one was Bigfoot Blood Trap. It's a modern-day love story. It's a horror comedy.
Oh, cool.
I was surprised he wasn't that killer. He should have been that killer promoting his movie.
I was going to go. I'll probably go next year.
Yeah, I don't know if you... there was the guy that did all the music for Halloween and all that stuff. Jesus, I can't remember his name, but... he did all the soundtrack music for Halloween and a lot of other horror movies. I forgot his name, but we were talking to him for a while too.
Mm.
Super nice guy. Yeah, he does everything out of his house. He was telling me, I was like, you don't use your office, that's new.
Yeah, I think everyone's doing it now out of their house because you have the equipment that you could just buy and do it right at your. You don't have to go to the studio anymore.
You can do everything out of the house. Yeah, well, look at us.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? It's like when you think about it as a musician, John, and you know, like you're playing like a cello or a violin, but you're playing it on a keyboard, so the approach is different. So to me, it's like
exactly.
It can never be the same. You know what I'm saying? It can never be the same.
No.
What I love is Frank. When they have. The keyboard playing the guitar part, it just doesn't work, you know what I mean? But most people wouldn't hear it, you know. Most people, except a musician, they wouldn't notice the difference. So.
Frank, do you use the MPK software right now, the keyboard and all that, by any chance?
No, I use Pro Tools and all that. Oh, is that the software you're talking about that you have in your house?
No, it's not software. It's an actual machine. It's an MPK, and it's a keyboard, MIDI keyboard, and it connects up to something else to your computer to use, I guess, something like Pro Tools. I've been looking into that. I was wondering if you were using that.
No, I use Logic and Pro Tools, and those are my two main things that I use. You can do a lot of editing on Logic that kind of stuff.
It's amazing what you can do at home now, you know.
Yeah, I do that in my studio because I can make noise 24 hours a day and nobody's going to bother me. I can basically be on 11 for like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody's going to hear me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, which is good for me, but, you know.
Right. Well, Frank, if there's anything else you want to share with our listeners, please do so.
For the band, the Frank and Ian, the Crooked Hearts, you can go on frankandianband.com and you'll find, you know, more current info on the band with us there. Or hit us on Facebook. We definitely can use some new fans on our Facebook page, or followers, and. We're going to have some shows, you know, like in January, and hopefully more shows.
Whereabouts?
We definitely have a show at a place called the Winery at St. George. It's like a
church.
Oh, I've
heard of it,
We'll be there. That's in Yorktown, New York, and we'll be there in the end of January. It's an awesome place to play, that's one of the gigs. We have a couple of things that are just not, you know, we're looking into a manager for us. We don't, believe it or not, I don't have a manager, and all this stuff is going, you know, there's the other band that's on TV, on Teen Titans Go and all that stuff. And then there's, you know, me handling my own band, and I had a manager, but right now we're just kind of looking for new management and people to book shows and kind of get us out there more because there's a lot of stuff happening. We just need to kind of be organized about it, you know?
Well, if I wasn't
ready to drop, give me a call.
Well, If I wasn't ready to drop dead, I'd think about it.
Yeah. Oh, you're not gonna drop dead.
I'm so tired, please. Anyway, Frank, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure.
Thank
I was
you.
So glad to have you on. It was a pleasure meeting you. Hope to bump into you
Likewise.
Again. Got to definitely check out more of your music. And
thank you.
Maybe I don't know when I'll see you again, but thank you so much for joining us. And folks, Frank Enea and the Crooked Hearts, check them out online.
Yep.
Check them out the website, iTunes, they're everywhere. And check them out. And thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank
you,
John. Frank.
Great talking to you guys.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Take care, honey.
Okay.
Listen, have a happy holiday,
you
okay?
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
You too. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye, Frank.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
All right. All righty then.
Well, cool, Joanne.
Tired,
good
John.
Show.
You're tired, John.
I'm always tired, Joanne.
Me too. I'm exhausted. So I said,
I gotta
if
take
I wasn't
that.
Ready to...
I think we got to take that narcolepsy test that they're advertising on TV now. That are you always tired?
Yeah, oh, my God. I'm telling you, that's what I said. If I wasn't ready to drop dead, I'd manage him. But... Anyway, Mr. Ron Dante, how can you get any better than that? Thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure, an honor. Can't wait to meet him and go check him out. And then Frank Enea and the Crooked Hearts. Great show tonight, John. Thank you to our sponsors, The Hive Bar and Bistro, 142 Outwater Lane in Garfield, New Jersey. Delicious food, fantastic drinks. And it gets really packed very quick. So you want to get there, the calm before the swarm. And we have Catskill Provisions. They make honey syrup, honey whiskey, delicious. And KWV Wines out of South Africa, where they are inexpensively priced. However, they taste like $1 million. Thank you all so much. This Sunday, we have the guys from Boston, the band Boston, to kick off our holiday season. And I will post when, who, what time, as soon as I can. John, I love you. Thank you so much. We love you all. And we appreciate you for listening and calling in. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you guys on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Sunday night, 7 o'clock.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Applause Radio Show. Take care.